Thank you. We live in a very precarious time in human history. Countries around the world are facing economic collapse, political revolution, and intense social upheaval. Here in America, not much is different. Our daily papers and nightly news reporters fill our hearts with sadness of the constant barrage of human suffering and death that is being inflicted upon our fellow brothers and sisters and kin. Young boys are being shot down on the south side of Chicago. An Iraqi veteran was once sent to the ICU for protesting at Occupy Oakland. The unemployment rate remains ever high, and all the while it seems that our elected officials remain in an ideological stalemate in Washington. Without a doubt, our earth remains in a state of shock, busting at the seams as it exceeds 7 billion residents. But amidst all of this turmoil, surrounded by all of this darkness, there is hope. There is hope. It is in me and it is in you, and it fills this space that is made sacred this morning just by our shared presence. There is hope. We come together as Unitarian Universalists each Sunday because we believe in a world unseen, in a world unfolding beneath our feet, becoming manifest by our compassionate hands and our warm, loving hearts. And every weekend, billions of other people around the world gather in places of worship, just like this one, not to run away from the problems out there, but to be reminded of the headlines that didn't make the New York Times or the Today Show. When I worked for Dr. Eboo Patel, the author of Acts of Faith, the president and founder of the Interfaith Youth Corps, he spoke often about the stories that we were not being told about by the media. Those that signified not only the potentiality for social cohesion, but the reality that people come together each and every day from diverse backgrounds to work together to make this world a better place. We live in a world where it is easy to get pessimistic, cynical, and just plain tired of trying to keep it together. Religious people and secular alike, progressive people of all shades and stripes, are becoming frustrated beyond measure by the widening division in society as made clear by the recent Occupy movement that has gained momentum throughout this country and even abroad. But what is more troubling than living within this tenuous globalized world is the fact that hundreds of millions of people are coming of age in this time of great uncertainty. As a young adult and a lifelong Unitarian Universalist, I resonate already, retrospectively considering the difference between my entrance into this time of life as opposed to some of you here today, or your children or your grandchildren, who are only now becoming aware of the complex world that they are about to dive right headfirst into. It seems as if in just the last 5 years or so, we have journeyed into dangerous waters, not uncharted, but rarely traversed in recent history. And so I ask all of us today to consider how we as religious leaders will respond to the needs of our youth and young adults as they progress through this time of great transformation and revelation. But this discourse, however, is not solely related to the well-being of our youth and our young adults, but to the entirety of our faith tradition, to all of us. As Unitarian Universalists, we promote the interconnected web of existence of which we are all a part. We cannot subdivide this symbolic web, for our souls and our hearts are woven in together. Clipping away South Sudan or South Chicago, or the cares and needs of any part of our global family, must be understood as a serious spiritual detriment, which will only foster a similar ideological stalemate. That is, who is my brother? Who is my sister? The same arguments that are going on in Washington. So the pursuit of effective youth and young adult ministries is the pursuit of effective intergenerational ministries, and I believe that the journey towards effective leadership around this issue begins and ends with a greater realization of, appreciation for, and an engagement with our fourth Unitarian Universalist principle. The reality of our fourth principle, which is that we promote and affirm a free and responsible search for truth and meaning for our congregants, is that it is not only a very progressive theological stance, but it is also a very demanding task. I once delivered a sermon actually here where I articulated the disparate demands the adjectives free and responsible present to us as we travel along our spiritual paths towards truth and meaning. I wrote, freedom is a wonderfully simple qualifier. Like a kid in a candy shop, we can run for the Skittles, follow it up with a couple malted milk balls, completely avoid the Twizzlers altogether, and finish it off with some terribly time-consuming but ultimately satisfying Gobstoppers. But then we must push the metaphor further and question our level of responsibility as a result of our candy binge and our sugar high. What parts of our diet are we not fulfilling to remain healthy, spiritual individuals? The reason I bring this up is to not scold the sweet tooth in the audience, but to lift up the dual reality to show both my appreciation, the freedom of this principle gives us, but also its demands for spiritual responsibility, both individually as well as collectively. Simply put, I find no greater embodiment of this responsibility in spiritual formation than in the moments of engagement between people across religious and philosophical boundaries. When we come together, not despite our differences, but because we share a common longing for peace and justice in the world, we begin to see the magic manifest. The civil rights movement in the 1950s and 60s was a great example of this. When the Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel and the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. marched together in solidarity for equal housing, employment, and voting rights. 9/11 was another great example. While a horrible day in world history, it helped us realize our need for building authentic interfaith relationships in our cities, in our communities, in our nations, and throughout the world. Since then, the growth of interfaith organizations in the world has skyrocketed as people began to realize that we need to come together, that we have a stake in each other's lives. The Occupy movement is one of the most recent manifestations of people wanting to come together regardless of religious background. Occupy Wall Street, which was more relevant last year, is inherently an interfaith movement. One experience I had with the Occupy movement was chanting and singing in downtown Chicago with Muslims and Jews, Christians and atheists, and individuals of all life journeys. And in this diversity, in our shared longings for peace and for greater economic equality, we began to see that world unseen. We began to realize that our future was springing up beneath our marching feet, emitting warmly from our shared embrace and pouring out from our loving songs. And as a result of this movement reaching from coast to coast and everywhere in between and even abroad, and because it is holding strong and still active in many cities throughout this nation, I am reassured that something greater than frustration and anger is being realized by tens of thousands of people throughout this country. There is an energy and life present at these rallies, a palpable exuberance among the people at these gatherings, perhaps consequence of many factors, but one of them, I am sure, is a growing realization of what it means to be human, living in the 21st century. Identity formation is an inevitable component of social justice movements, as the movement causes us as individuals to ask, will I move? Will I move? But before we can answer this question, one must consider first the existential and age-old question, who am I to move in the first place? Who am I to move? Every single religious community asks this question. along with those related to our origins. Where do we come from? Our journeys. Where are we going? And our relation to others. Who am I in association to the world around me? Gandhi asked these questions in his ashram in Gujarat. The Dalai Lama in his monastery in Tibet. Muhammad in Mecca. Maimonides in Morocco. And Jesus in the land of Israel. Countless others, including each and every one of us in this room today, ask these deeply personal questions. We all ask these questions. This is our fourth principle. And this is also the case for members of youth groups in our UU churches throughout the country. This time of life, of which I am still in, is a particularly challenging time in life, no matter which way we approach it. We, as young adults, are beginning to grapple with issues of sexuality and gender, race and class, vocational direction and economic worries. We balance between, on the one hand, complete eagerness to take this world by storm, go to college and be free. And then on the other hand, a deep fear of the unknown overwhelms us, of the world that awaits us, and the paths our journeys may take. Eboo Patel's memoir, Acts of Faith, The Story of an American Muslim, The Struggle for the Soul of a Generation, articulates this dual journey of discovering oneself while understanding it in relation to the collective time we share together on this planet. Patel, who grew up in Glen Ellyn, Illinois, a primarily white and relatively wealthy suburb of Chicago, struggled to understand his identity as an Indian American Muslim, growing up in a culture where he was clearly other. As our first reading indicated, his time growing up was fueled by shame and even self-hatred. He desired to fit in with the white culture that surrounded him, where he could simply shoot hoops and just be normal. In college, he began to realize, however, that this longing for singularity in identity was not the norm. College became a laboratory for experimenting with one's identity, where one could be free to express oneself without rebuke. Though through this struggle of understanding about who he was as an individual, he began to realize the richness and diversity of human experience and existence. Dr. Patel came to an affirmation of his own identity and family history in part through meeting and engaging with people from different religious backgrounds than his own. His encounters with religious people in college carried over into his doctoral studies when he eventually got his PhD as a Rhodes Scholar in the Sociology of Religion from Oxford University. In other words, Dr. Patel wanted to understand the power religion could and does have in uniting people around common causes to make the world better. He learned about the Beatitudes of Jesus, the Noble Truths of Buddha, the concept of Tikkun Olam in Judaism and Tawheed in Islam, and was overwhelmed by the compassionate points of intersection throughout these traditions. Could bringing people together around their shared commitments be a venue for eradicating the injustice and conflict in the world? Well, Dr. Patel surely believes so, as his organization, the Interfaith Youth Corps, has become one of the largest and most successful interfaith nonprofits in the world in just the last decade. The IFYC strategically considered the various venues to engage communities with opportunities for interfaith engagement. And empowering young people in college was agreed upon to be the most logical approach, for young people are not only the shapers of tomorrow, but also a powerful reality for social change today. The Occupy movement is just one example, as it has been largely run and maintained by people under the age of 35. This book, Acts of Faith, articulates in my mind a growing edge we, as Unitarian Universalists, could take to heart. Not only does it offer us an opportunity to consider the method of spiritual formation of our youth and our young adults and our religious tradition, but I think it also allows us to have a much deeper discussion. Are we responsibly living out our fourth UU principle? Are we called to greater engagement with people of various religious traditions, to learn from each other and work together to improve the world of which we are all co-residents? Or perhaps, an even deeper question, how can we engage more holistically with the religious diversity within our own congregations? I have felt for several years now that we, as Unitarian Universalists, stand as a faith tradition at a great precipice of revolution. And not a violent or political revolution of which we are more accustomed to and even perhaps frightened of because of media representations of them. Rather, we gather today at the genesis of what I hope is an ongoing spiritual revolution, a revolution of the heart, of the soul, a spinning dance of repositioning our focus towards greater attention to the power interreligious engagement can play within our spiritual practices individually as well as collectively. We are primed for this revolution. Our UU principles practically present a 7-point argument about why we should engage with people of various religious traditions. Many congregations are already doing this in various ways, as I know the fellowship is here. For example, First Unitarian Chicago in Hyde Park, where I attend regularly, has a spiritual pluralism project, which seeks to give space for those who are interested in engaging with people who embrace various theologies, rituals, and religious practices. These encounters foster a greater spirit of religious pluralism within the larger congregation. And other congregations try and work with neighboring religious communities on issues of advocacy and community service. Both are great. These two examples show that diversity is not just beyond these four walls, but right here in this room this morning. Now, I'm not trying to be controversial or suggesting we completely rewrite the script of what it means to be UU. I don't want you to become Buddhist and Jewish and Christian and Muslim and atheistic and all of these together. I'm simply advocating that we continue to consider the place of interfaith engagement in the work of our congregations, in the work of our associations, and in the lives of each of us. Interreligious programming at this congregation will inevitably be different than at First Unitarian in Chicago, as it would look different on the East Coast or the West Coast. However, I believe that there is an intimately profound connection possible between this book, Acts of Faith, and the future of our Unitarian Universalist tradition. Acts of Faith was named last year's common read by the Unitarian Universalist Association, which means churches throughout the country have been and will continue to be organizing events and book reading groups to consider how this may become a source of great inspiration and direction to our progressive religious movement. Ultimately, I consider this book to not only be well-written, but also written for people just like all of us, young and old and everywhere in between. Identity formation does not stop at 18 or 21 or 30 or 60 or 90 or 101. Issues of sexuality and gender, career path, and economic stability are issues that do not discriminate by age. And they definitely do not discriminate by religious tradition. It is not far-fetched, then, to consider that interfaith ministries may be a path forward towards effective intergenerational work, because we are all here, now, all of us, in this place. But it's not just this place, but this place, Earth, our home, together, we are all here. Whether you're Buddhist or Muslim, Christian or Jewish, Unitarian, Universalist, all of these, an amalgamation of these, none of these, we're all here, and we must affirm our shared humanity in one another. We must see each other in the night, beckoning the new day. We are all on a journey, and we all are in this spiritual revolution together as one global family. I believe that if we can unite in this venture, the possibilities are endless for our faith tradition. A central part of the Unitarian Universalist Coming of Age program is when we send our youth to various places of worship so that they may experience the culture and practices of different religious traditions. This was a powerful experience for me. And perhaps it was what initially got me interested in interfaith engagement. I can't state this enough. The children and youth in this room, and in your families, and in this congregation, and in this larger tradition, are bright and shining symbols of the future of our movement. They are coming of age. I am still coming of age, and yes, each and every one of you are still coming of age, because, in fact, the world is coming of age. 7 billion is a really large number. And it takes a certain level of maturity and leadership to build a cohesive global community amidst this diversity. And it also takes a certain nuance in religious leadership to address the needs of the day in our communities, just like this one. May our leadership in our churches and wider communities be beacons of hope and of promise. May we never stop coming of age, growing in love, and continuing to travel down our paths of spiritual revolution. May it be so. Amen.